Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I talk about the war on context, and I come up with a unique idea to save this nation from its obesity problem. I call them carb credits. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying way too much for the exact same coverage you could get with Pure Talk. Look at your bill. Look where it shows data usage. The average person uses less than 4 gigs a month, but big carriers charge you for an unlimited data, and that's where the money comes in. Pure Talk saves the average person over $400 a year. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all just $20 a month. If you go over the data usage, they don't charge you for it. Go to puretalkusa.com, enter the promo code ADAMPODCAST, and save 50% off your first month. puretalkusa.com, promo code ADAMPODCAST. Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the senior consultant to the National Popular Vote Campaign, Pat Rosensteel. We'll play a spirited round of Mr. Brightside, plus we got Gina Grad on news, and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, he has a healthcare plan, jump in cold pools, and steal cashews from pigeons. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but get on your mandate, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
People hate you.
Hey, Max Zapata, I left my white buck slip out there, I think, on the table. It's got some notes of stuff I want to talk about today. One of them was just something that's been a reoccurring theme in my life, and I want to see if we can drill down on it a little, which is my communication with people is somewhere between zero and minus seven. Like the things I say,
you
are some
as high as zero.
Yeah. Well, again, that's,
he has to give a range.
Yes, that's a margin of error. So things like, I have these little things like Saturday night I went out to a Mexican food place. As you guys know, I'll order like a double skinny margarita. Is that, you
as
have
we
my
know.
You have my buck slip, my white buck slip?
You brought it. You brought your phone book.
All right. It's a white buck slip.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That's all I'm asking for.
It's probably, dude, you brought a doctor's spouse.
Well, anyway, it happened.
File papers.
It's happened the last 26 seconds, which is beautiful. I need my white buck slip. I got every notepad I've ever written on, which is fine, but I need the white buck slip. You don't have to. All right. You take over. You guys take over for a second.
I just wanted to ask Bethany Frankel why he was such a big fan of skinny margaritas. He said, as you know.
Mancho, huh?
Yeah, Mr. He's a real housewife. I love that it was as you know.
I hate to admit it, but I do the skinny margaritas as well. I don't call them skinny margaritas, but
skinny bitch margs.
It kind of is what it is.
But if you have two, right, why don't you have one good one? I should ask him.
I have a quick
question for Bethany Frankel with her skinny margaritas. Mm. Would this be one of those cases where one regular good margarita equals two skinny margaritas?
I have no idea calorically how it works. I am, by the way, white buck slip sitting on top of my computer in front of Gary. All right, now. But not with my other papers.
Oh, we're still, okay.
All right, so I don't like, there's one, the thing I don't like is sort of syrupy, gooey, you know, mm-hmm. I hate big fluffy drinks. And, usually the skinny version is just a little less corn syrup, a little more lime or something, and it's fine.
So the Triple Sec and its varietals, Cointreau, that shit, actually have a surprising number of calories in them. They're very, very sugary and sweet. It's an essential ingredient. You can get away with putting like orange extract drops, but now you're getting – I've done it, but now you're getting a little creative. You know what I mean?
I'm just trying to lessen the effect. I'm not really trying to avoid it, but
– you're just trying to break the fall.
And I like the taste of tequila. I find most margaritas are a little overpowered by the margarita, and I don't get the tequila. So when I go out to a Mexican food place, I go, give me a skinny margarita, make it a double, and then I hold both hands up and I go, put it in a small glass. I don't want a big tub of corn syrup.
Oh, the schooner?
Yeah, it becomes like a highball cocktail to me. I get a small glass. I can taste the tequila in it. I like the salt on the rim, and it's got less. It's just less volume of this goo. And I do it every time, and I hold both hands up, and I go, put it in a small glass, and then they just bring me a giant tumbler of it, and then sometimes I drink it, and other times as they're setting it down, I go, take it back. And they go, what? I go, remember I said a small glass? And the guy'll just turn around and walk away with it, rub one out in it, blow a snot rocket in it, and then just dump half of what I already paid for in a smaller glass, I'm sure. But anyway, that was Saturday night. And then Sunday, when we were watching football, we were ordering sandwiches from Giamello's, and I wanted...
Love
GMO. I do too. I wanted the Philly cheesesteak, and I kept saying provolone. I want provolone. I want
no
provolone.
Whiz.
I want no whiz. I want the provolone. I love provolone. Mm-hmm. I want the onions and the grilled onions and the grilled peppers, pepper. Whatever. I said the word provolone 128 times. Of course, when the sandwiches came back, it was just the bun with the meat. No peppers.
You said no cheese.
No cheese. No peppers. No, it was just no anything. And by the way, Philly cheesesteak can go south pretty fast, minus the onions and the peppers and the and the provolone. So I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on with communication, but I had this this winter with AV Ed. This is I have the text to read to you, and It's not Mike August level, but the subject that I wanted to get into really is it's not so much about communication. It's about context. I talk to Drew about this all the time. People are missing context. They're missing context. They're not able to find where this conversation is in the world. You know what I mean? I have the conversation with people all the time where they'll say something and then I'll reply and they'll go, oh, well, what are you referring to? And I have this saying, which is I go, I'll be talking about what we're talking about. I would never just pull something out of left field. So like I'm very context oriented anyway, small little weird context stuff. Like, so I got this condo and I'm getting the TV going up in there and some furniture up in there and working on it. And it's a two-story condo. It's like a townhouse. But there's a pretty hefty set of stairs that go up just to get to the front door, right?
Okay.
So I tell Kevin, who's a nice kid who works for me, who's not good in the context department, I go, take this end table, bring it upstairs. Go upstairs and just put it at the landing upstairs, and I'll figure out which room to put it in. And he goes, okay. I come back. It's sitting on the first floor. Because in his mind, he went upstairs.
It's up a flight of stairs.
Right. And I'm like, Kevin, I'm not including the stairs to the front door. I'll never do that. It's insane that you're thinking that way.
And upstairs in the context of any domicile, condo or house, means on the second floor or third, I suppose, but you don't specify that.
In his world, he's standing out in the driveway, and I say upstairs, and he goes up a set of stairs and puts it down.
You went up the stairs.
Yeah, later.
Beat you on a technicality, man.
I also had an insane contextual conversation with him a week ago, which is we're painting the place. And as you all know, I'm employing Ozzy, but it's a little mercy mission, you know. And I said, I get it. So I go, he's at my house, right? He's in the truck at my house. I go, okay, leave my house. Go to the warehouse where all the guys are. Get the guys, put them in the truck, go to Malibu. Now, leave Ozzy behind and tell Ozzy to clean that warehouse top to bottom. Blow it out, start high, go down low. Been doing a lot of work in there. Just tell him to clean it top to bottom. You guys hop in the truck. I'll see you in Malibu. Pull up in Malibu. Guys are out, looking good. Get out of the car. Around the corner comes Ozzy. I go, wait, I thought we were leaving you behind. He goes, no, take it. I go, Kevin, I told you leave Ozzy behind, have him blow out the warehouse and just clean the whole thing top to bottom, 7,000 square foot. He goes, oh, you didn't tell me to leave him behind. I said, but what did I tell you? He said, you said to tell Ozzy to clean the whole place top to bottom.
Is he going to clean it with like a room, like a drone remotely?
Does he have a holodeck?
I said, Kevin, how could you pull up in a truck and have everyone jump in and leave for Malibu? How would the one guy clean the whole place top to bottom if you didn't leave him behind? How could that be an instruction? You know what I mean? Like his thing was, I didn't hear the part where you didn't say, where you said leave him behind. I didn't hear that part. I was like, but you heard the part where I said
the instruction?
Clean top to bottom. He literally didn't shut the truck. He pulled in, everyone jumped in, and they left.
In.
Again, that makes me an insane person. If everyone is getting in the truck and you give someone a 9-hour job, except for they just pile in the truck and you leave. So his thing was, I didn't hear the left behind part. My thing, context. How could you clean the place top to bottom when you're just picking up these guys and heading to Malibu? So
was there an answer satisfying?
There's
or not?
Never a good answer. There's never a good answer.
But I said satisfying or not. What was his response?
Mm-hmm.
Was he just like, you got it, boss?
All right. Not. So now I got a text with from AV Ed, which is it's good for AV Ed. It's not in Mike Augs's top 10, but it may crack it. I don't.
This ought to be interesting because Ed's one of the sharpest guys I know, and by that I mean he's precise. Fucking
right.
Guy installs multi-million-dollar entertainment systems in celebrities' houses.
He did. He does. So I had a long conversation with him, or a thorough conversation with him at football on Sunday, which was, as you hear this, yesterday. And I said to him, hey, the condo, what do we got there? And he goes, you don't have DirecTV there. You're going to be on cable there.
Okay.
Cable is not DirecTV. It's different, but you'll figure it out. So I said, oh, so no DirecTV. No, you're on cable. Then I started talking to him about HDMI hookups and blah, blah, blah. So what I got, I got a computer and I got a big TV and I got no cable hookup. And, for me, that's my heroin. I can't stay in a place with no cable,
I was about to say you could watch almost anything through that computer on the TV, but then I remember it's you. And
right.
So one could. So.
Well, these guys started filling my head with fanciful lies, going, if you get an HDMI cable and you hook it to your computer, then you can just hook it to the TV. And I said, that sounds good. And the Mac Air, Book, Light, whatever, doesn't have the HDMI, but Chris gets me the adapter. Mm-hmm. By the way, I need the long cord Maxipata that we use, I guess, when we go on the road. So I wake up this morning. So I have no control over where's the cable guy, who's booking the cable guy, who the hell knows. It's always it's a pain in the ass. But I wake up this morning and I say to myself, I get that TV sitting over there up on the wall. I get my long HDMI cable from Maxipata. He gave me the adapter, and then I can watch you bring a trailer on, so I can watch whatever's on my computer. All right, that'll work. So I wake up this morning, and at 7:52, I send the following text to AV Ed.
Okay.
Now keep in mind, we had a long talk about you don't have DirecTV, you do have cable. And when I was saying, how do I get the cable guy out? He was like, I don't know. You got to talk to so-and-so and so-and-so and book that. My question, can I watch my computer on the TV with the HDMI cord even if the cable isn't hooked up?
Okay. Makes sense.
Straightforward.
He says, no.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Now I'm thinking, fuck that Maxipad and Gary telling me I can watch what's on the fucking computer. So he says, no. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, why can't I do it? And then he says, wait, like cable TV?
Yeah.
Or the cable to the computer.
Then, yes. Already,
okay.
And then he points out that HDMI is a cable. Now, first off, I said, can I watch my computer on TV with the HDMI cord even if the cable is right? So,
yeah, you already differentiated.
You should not imply that I'm not going to plug the cord into the TV set.
Yep. It's the first thing I thought
It
of.
Should be no. But what I'm saying, context.
7:52 in the morning?
7:50. All right. This is an extreme example, but still context. It's context. Yeah. You know I don't have cable. You know I'm trying to get something going over there. And I did. And HDMI is a cable. Mm-hmm. It is a cable. But I said HDMI and cable hooked up.
Yeah, you said cord and cable. If you said cord and cable, then it should be. Yeah.
Right.
This is why I came back with, wait a minute.
It's not even implied. You did the only thing you could do.
Now, listen, I'm sure he's in a hurry, and I'm sure he's doing something more important. I'm just saying, I'm thinking a lot about context these days. Like, this was pretty straightforward, but it was also in a setting of me saying to him 18 hours ago, I need cable. I got to get the cable guy out to the house. So he knew I didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And
it's a continuation of the conversation.
It's a continuation of the conversation. Yes.
A small yes and example of that is I needed my mom to notarize something of hers and send it to me. And with you know, talk to text or autocorrect, whatever, it came. I accidentally sent her, can you get this motorized? And I got a question mark back when we were talking about notarizing. Mm-hmm. So I hear you. People aren't always paying attention.
Now, I'm wondering if the video games and the virtual world is removing a context. Because the context is something that's it's pretty analog. Like, it's pretty old school and it's pretty there. Now, there's a distraction level. People are looking at their phone or they're multitasking or whatever, and that's going to hurt. But, like, listening with context, listening and knowing things about the person and the conversation and the direction this is going, not in a bubble. Because I feel like a lot of the conversations I have with people, they don't know who I am. They don't know what I'm asking. Like, I would never say X, Y, and Z. I would never say that. I would never imply that. So, and maybe it's a news thing. Maybe it's a new world order thing. Maybe it's a Twitter thing. Maybe there's too many short first, but I do feel like context is something people are missing these days.
Well, when you talk about nuance, I think the way we communicate, like you said, it's text, it's, you know, short, mm-hmm. it's clipped. And when we're not having real-time conversations anymore, either face-to-face or on the phone, what chance is there to practice our nuance?
Yeah, I agree.
And context.
I remember.
And like your experience of that, like independently, you and I pick up conversations on text the next day, what I mean? As though like we're still talking. So yeah, there's a lot of out of context that's still kind of in context you expect people to understand.
Well, think about what the news cycle is like. It's kind of all out of context now. It's just a kind of gotcha, he said, she said.
Every Twitter clip is out of context.
Right. So maybe there's a war on context, and maybe it's something we're losing. It's a war we're losing sort of as a civilization. I don't know. I don't know why this one always popped in my head, but I had a guy work for me and I said to him, Gary, I need you to get the clear cabinet door pads. They're these little adhesive bumpers that be like on the inside.
So the glass doesn't shatter every time you close
it. Yeah, even if it's a wooden door, it doesn't make that slam thing. So I need the clear cabinet door pads. And then I showed up a couple hours later and I was like, did you get those clear cabinet door pads? And he said, we don't have a clear cabinet. And I thought,
I mean, he got you there.
He's right, but I don't know what more I can do on my end, is what I'm saying. All right. Also, I had this thought. Sorry, Max Paddock, can you punch the air conditioning on in here? I forgot to. I had this thought. I was dealing with a kind of new coffee maker, and I was testing it out at the condo. And I kind of realize this when Olga makes my coffee in the morning and she fills it up and she's like, do you want 8 cups or 12 cups? And like, I'm the only one in the house drinking coffee. Now, it feels to me like I'm drinking 3 cups, three good size mugs, but like 3 cups. But as I was filling this coffee machine, I just took a tumbler, put it under the filtered water thing, poured it once. I was at 9 cups, you know, I poured again. Like, you're at 17 cups. Like, wait a minute. What is this thing where they're trying to gaslight us into thinking we're coffee junkies? This is 2 cups of water. It's 2 big cups of water, but it's still, I don't know how it translates into 13 cups of coffee. But
if anything's going to be a little less than 2 because it's filtering through the coffee. Something's going to get stuck in the coffee, obviously.
It's kind of that thing where it's like you get a box, a cup of noodles, and it says, serves 11. And you're like, what? I was going to eat 3 of these. Like, it's the fucking serving size thing.
Yep.
They're in cahoots to mentally fuck us up. And same with the coffee thing. It's like, according to Mr. Coffee, I drink 13 cups of coffee every morning. According to me, I drink like 2.5 big mugs of coffee. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's in it for them. Maybe they want to say we have a capacity to do that.
I think you're right. I think it's serving size. Also, anyone who's ever cooked or baked has been bit by this. And I know I have multiple times. An actual teaspoon or a tablespoon you get out of your drawer is not what they mean when they say a teaspoon of salt. That's why you need measuring teaspoons, because that shit's going to be salty.
Yeah, we need to recalibrate. All right. I think I found my K Jeweler ad from yesterday.
All right.
First, I'll tell you about stamps.com. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, when it's a new normal out there, people still need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, stamps.com makes things easier. I've used stamps.com here for over 10 years. They have been with us over 10 years. We've sent out every bit of merch, books, paperwork. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller, shipping products, or just working from home, you need stamps.com. It lets you buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, 24/7. Do it from home. 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 62% of a discount on USPS and UPS shipping rates. Special offer, 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. So I was explaining yesterday how we've jumped the shark in the commercial department because the K Jewelers, the wedding ring store, has got themselves a plus-size model. Hey, I ain't uptight. That's your thing. That's your thing. Everyone should be represented. I'm just saying that is probably the last domino to fall in as far as Madison Avenue in terms of every, you know, first Dove soap went away from the skinny model, and many other brands have gone away from the waif model. But the engagement ring store, they stuck to their guns for the last 20 years. They have had the hot young waif model, who's, by the way, overwhelmed that a semi-average guy wanted to marry them. But in this particular K Jeweler, we got a plumper.
Someday I'll ask you a question that will change me forever.
That was her. Not not fat, but just not engagement ring store model. So
I think by industry standards, she'd be safely considered a plus size model.
Plus size, and that's where we're heading. Now, here's an interesting thought. I know we're all freaked out about shaming, and I know we're all. I'm the guy who believes the self-esteem movement fucked up a bunch of kids. Again, if you go back to the great Michael Strahan was a fat kid. And the reason he lost all the weight is because everyone made fun of him for being a fat kid. And then I think his brother did. Maybe he was in Germany on like a military base. Anyway, so here's the question. While people need to be represented, at what point does it just become the norm? And then when it becomes the norm, where are we? Like you take, you know, I probably in my grade school class, there was one fat kid, the entire school. There was like one fat guy and one fat girl. You felt sorry for him, but that's what it was. I guarantee you, if I walked into fifth grade here in the San Fernando Valley and just walked into any fifth grade class, I think probably half or more of those kids would be overweight now. And it's going to lead to a lifetime of problems. You know, we talk about, you know, it's interesting. So as a society, we never stop talking about race and growing up black or growing up Latina or growing up female or growing up gay. Like, it's all we talk about. Being heavy your whole life, man, that is the worst sentence you could ever give to anybody. It affects you socially, your health, your joints, your, you know, the things you can't do. You don't get to go skimboarding or ziplining, or it is so stifling, and yet it's not really something we get into. Don't you think we should get into it? This is above and beyond the Kay Jeweler commercial.
It's a lot of responsibility for Kay Jeweler.
I know. And isn't it time? I mean, especially with this COVID business, like, isn't this a good window for us to get into this stuff? And I mean, you see all these commercials out here in California, you know, Prop 22. They want to close down the dialysis diabetes center. So it's like, why do we have all these diabetes centers? Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, I didn't pass any diabetes centers. I didn't even heard of a diabetes. When you guys were growing up, had you heard of that?
No, I didn't know what diabetes was.
I didn't know it was a thing. I certainly didn't know any 13-year-old boys who had it. Like, it's a thing now. It's uh-huh. on. Like, it is a, I would call it a national emergency. What's the plan? Who's talking about it? And it can't just be the first lady wants to plant a garden. You know what I mean? Like that.
I agree.
That just never worked. What do you think we could do? Because when we are interested in something, we act as if, and differences are made. You know, we try to lower carbon emissions. We get to work on it. And when we want to save water in Southern California because we're in a drought zone, like, we get to work on it. Like, we can do the things we want to do. How come nothing here? I mean, again, a couple of PSAs with an animated blue jay flying around, landing on fruit salad, saying, eat your fruits and vegetables. But really, why isn't there more about this? And what would the plan be? Gina Grant.
Well, you just reminded me, I probably never would have thought about this again. And Brian, even though you're significantly older than me, you probably remember. Did All you right. guys have life break in school? Where it was basically like yard time for prisoners. It wasn't recess. You would just, I think it was a First Lady initiative.
I think it was one of those newfangled things, Gina. I wasn't my day.
Yeah, we're way too old.
it was literally like, okay, it's life break time. It was, you know, mandated by, you know, the White House, you know, that all schools get involved in this thing. And you go around and they just walk you around the yard. And it was to keep kids slim and fit. And I don't think that would fly today, saying, all right, everybody get up and just give it a couple laps around the yard just to keep everybody, you know, slim and fit. Do you think we could say that?
Well, first off, you know, we did. There's something on Brian's screen, Max Pat. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh,
but,
sorry, it's a fly. It has a fly flying around right here.
There you go. Yeah, it was just, there was some text.
There's a pop up.
It's a pop up.
Oh,
right.
Oh, there's literally a fly. Sorry.
We. Yeah, but I wouldn't. Max Pat
is
good.
Because I was visible. So I, thought,
I asked him to get a buck slip 10 minutes ago. He showed up with a phone book.
It's all context.
What are the chances?
Contact, they're your notes. Get out of here.
What are the chances he's going to fix your fly? All right. So, again, you just think about smoking. We didn't like smoking. Smoking's bad for you. We kind of got into this thing where it's like it cost us money. It cost the state money. Who's going to take care of these people? So we launched a campaign against smoking. And I don't know, Max Zapata, but I will bet you in 1955 or 57 or whatever the hell the last date is, I'll bet you 40% of American males smoked at some point, like 1951 or something.
I buy that.
And
your doctor was smoking.
Right. And athletes were selling Chesterfield cigarettes. And if you look by today's standards, we're probably under 20% in the adult male department, maybe less, maybe 15, maybe under 15%. And now Dawson makes up, he smokes for seven people, so he bends the curve a little bit. But my point is we waged an effective campaign. We did. And we what we did with smoking, we didn't just say don't smoke. And we didn't just say it was bad for you. We added a shame factor to smoking. Shame. I know no one likes shame. Shame's fucking effective when you want people to do shit. And I know there's a shame factor to smoking because if I ever see a guy smoking like outside of a restaurant or something, he's kneeling behind the dumpster. Like these guys don't even stand out in the sidewalk and smoke anymore. Guys are like hiding. They're like around the corner with their jacket pulled over their head. Smoke's coming out. So we took cigarette smoking, which was bad for the public, and we've decided as a society we didn't want it, and we built a campaign around it, and a lot of that campaign was shame, how this affects people around you, secondhand smoke, what about the kids going up through the conduit of your apartment and coming out in the little Hispanic kids who looks very sad condo or conduit into his apartment. So we did it, and it worked. Now, I would say you could take all the same measures that applied to smoking and just move it over to obesity. You could.
There's one thing missing, a key thing missing. There's no such thing as secondhand binging. Mm-hmm. Because we don't really care what people do to themselves. We care, you know, blowing smoke toward our table or our kid. How do you marry those two, you know, that missing ingredient?
Additional problem. You're 100% right, Gene. Additional problem is you have to portray overweight, you know what I mean, diabetes or whatever. And how do you, you know, once you portray that as a person, like you personify as a person, then there's a whole thing of, you know, of a body shaming or are they picking on this fat person and bad optics.
Well, first off, we have to get around, we have to wrap our minds around body shaming, because if and we're trying to get people to eat less or exercise more or be healthy and, get rid of the diabetes, it's going to stray into that zone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we just declared body shaming was bad. But what I'm saying is first off, we don't have to say what you look like in a bathing suit. We can say you're X amount overweight. We need to work on this. 1954, it peaked. Was that its highest?
Yeah, that was the highest.
It's funny. I had that little area right in my head. I was saying 55, 50, whatever. It peaked in 54 at 45% of adults. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's adults. That's crazy. And yeah. Women smoked less, so I'm guessing even it was higher for men.
Sure.
But that was if in 1954, if you say 45% of adults smoked, that's 50% of American males smoked. It remained high, 40% through the 70s. And in the 2000s, it went down to the low 20s. But in 2021, it's got to be into the teens. Now, anyway, good for us. Effective. Saved a lot of lives. Healthier people. I think it's time to do whatever we were doing with smoking with weight, diabetes, health, overeating, and that world. We need to take it to that world. I think we got smoking pretty much under control. Now let's shift. And it's not a big health issue. I mean, that doesn't cost us. Like,
no, it's the biggest.
It's insane. It's the biggest.
I think you're right. And I think I just had something click in my brain how it can be done. With smokers, sure, we shamed smokers, but I think we started at the top down. No more advertising cigarettes on TV. No more glorifying, you know, I'm Babe Ruth and I smoke, you know, Winston's, whatever. All that shit has to go. So it started with the advertising and not necessarily scapegoating, but taking it off the individual and saying, you know, you're not the reason you're addicted to nicotine. These big bad advertisers are marketing directly to you. No more candy cigarettes. And I think if we took a similar approach to people saying, yes, you're part of the reason because it's your body, but you're not the reason that all this stuff is being inundated into your eyeballs every day. So we got to start more regulation on what's advertised because that's what we did for cigarettes.
I got an idea. Not bad, Gina Grad.
Thank you.
In greenhouse gases and global warming, we have carbon credits. How about we have carb credits?
Good.
Which is, you may get that Big Mac and fries, but I need to check your phone to see that you walked 4 miles today already.
And I checking for breakfast.
I see it's you only covered 3.5, and the guy just starts running.
Run around the
I
ball.
Like that.
Just because my thing is like you. I don't care if you have a Big Mac, but you got to fucking hit the gym.
Earn it. Yeah.
Or you can't have it for breakfast. Carb credits.
Carbo credits.
Carbo credits.
Didn't we talk one time about somewhere someone was making bike powered televisions?
Yeah.
So you could only watch TV if you're pedaling.
Yeah. The professor invented that on Gilligan's Island in 1962. 2018 smokers, men at 15.5%, women at 12%.
Wow.
I feel like I was right on all my guesstimates.
Yeah,
they're bad.
That's down a lot. So that's 50% down to 15 or whatever.
Did you always win every guess how many jelly beans are in this Sparklets bottle?
No, it was always a fish bowl when I was a kid, I think. And it was always at the supermarket.
I feel like that would be one of your strengths.
One of my my fantasy was every seventh sitcom I watched in the 70s when Carol Brady took her family shopping. At some point when she was checking out, it turned out she was the 1 millionth shopper. And the balloons would fall down and they'd come out with a big check. That was
comedy
a very
check.
Real scenario in my head. Like, we could be the 1 millionth shopper. All right, let's see. We got Mr. Brightside. We got a guy with a dog that died and a custody battle with a daughter and a crazy, lazy mother-in-law.
Jesus.
And we got some losing all his hair. We got a lot of good stuff queued up.
What's bad about that?
Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll come back, play Mr. Brightside right after this.
Real men are an endangered species. Shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card A place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenmanUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life. And get ready, because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man. Life got you down? Can't catch a break? Thinking about ending it all? Well, don't. Let Adam turn your frown upside down. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
You tell me your woes, and I'll see if I can put a happy spin on it with a happy organ in the back. I'm just going to move it on down the line. I'll start at the top. Kristen, 38, Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. Wait a minute. Are you a Christine? Sorry.
I am a Christine. Yes,
Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So I'm 8 months pregnant, and my dog passed away, and I have no ability to control my emotions. So if you could cheer me up, that would be great.
What was your dog's name?
His name was Moscow, like the city. He was a Siberian Husky.
Ooh, two different color eyes.
No, two bright blue eyes.
So you had him for how many years?
We just had him for about 5 years, and he was about five when we got him. He was sort of a rescue situation, so we're just grateful we had him, but it's been rough.
Yeah, the thing about dogs is you think you loved your old dog, and you think you mourn severely for the loss of your old dog until 2 seconds after you get a new puppy. And then every single, I wish you could do that with grandparents. Every single part of your fiber just goes right to the new puppy, and it's turn the fucking page. I mean, maybe, I don't know what it says about human wiring. I had a dog. I had Molly. We loved Molly. Molly died. Everyone was totally broken up about it. And then we got Phil, and it's like Molly was never born. So, I know they do this thing where they go, this is not how grieving works. Oh, yeah?
Tribute to Molly.
If it works, it works. Number one. It's essentially, first off, nothing's better than a puppy. Number one. Number two, you could be in a long marriage and getting divorced and grieving it. As soon as you fuck your first Victoria's Secret model, you're back. You know what I mean? So that puppy is a Victoria's Secret model. Now, you can't buy a Victoria's Secret model, but you can buy that puppy. And I'm telling you, your Moscow will be a distant memory after you get that new puppy. You'll feel a little guilty, just like you would if you're banging Victoria's Secret model, but you sure be happy you're on top of her. So you got to get the new dog.
True.
You got to get the new dog, because until you get the new dog, the old dog just remains. Just a sad, sad memory. And by the way, everybody thinks they had a special relationship with their dog. You know what I mean? Everyone has the best dog and a special relationship. Statistically, is that possible? Everyone had the best dog? Everyone had the best relationship? I swear to God, even the kids were all busted up about Molly dying. Soon as Phil put a bow on Phil, had Phil go trotting through in the living room, it was like, Molly,
no.
Molly who? Done. Gone. Yesterday's news. You got to get a new dog.
All right. From your lips to my husband's ears.
Well, otherwise, it's just going to be a lot of grieving, and you're what, 8 months pregnant?
Yeah. Will the baby count as a puppy, or I got to get a puppy?
You got to get a puppy.
Okay.
And don't get a really young puppy, because that's going to be a handful. Young puppy.
Yeah.
Young puppy's more work than the baby.
Okay.
I mean it. I
Well, that's also actually really good news.
Yeah. So babies, we talk about how much work they are, but get a night nurse. Get that pup, Christine.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
Turn the page. God bless. All right. I think that worked. Go turn down. Go to Josh, line two. Josh, Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy.
I'm in a renewed custody battle. I got divorced from my ex-wife 11 years ago, and now my daughter's 15, and she's also once identifies as a boy.
Mm.
Now, and so her mom is like ultra crazy religious, flat earther type, and mentally abusive. So I just had to file paperwork to get her to come stay with me and live with me, where, you know, we're more accepting and all that stuff.
Is your daughter transitioning?
Like medically? No, I mean, she just refers to herself as a boy. She's got a new name now. You know, I guess I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. But her mom is definitely not cool with that. She's crazy. And our original custody battle was hell.
Yeah. And, so how's it whacked up now? You split in the time, 50-50?
Yeah. It's joint custody, but she was the primary, you know,
yeah,
parent.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's tough. You have to hire a drifter to kill your wife.
Oh, boy.
There's only, you're not going to beat it with logic. Good luck. Good luck out arguing a flat earther. You know what I mean? When it comes,
yeah, now.
When it comes to the daughter wearing slacks. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, years ago, a couple of years back, she would make my daughter sit down and watch these, like, long, flatter YouTube videos to try to indoctrinate her and stuff.
How, out of all the conspiracy theories, the flat earthing, that is the most vexing to me, because it's like, first things first, what's in it for the flat earthers? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of understand when they go, there wasn't a Jew in one of those twin towers. All right, good, you hate Jews. That's what's in it for you. What's in it for the flat earthers?
I've talked about this before, and I'll talk about it till it no longer becomes a thing, which is probably never. There's an anti-intellectualism, which is those fucking scientists think they know more than me. I'll show them. I saw this documentary, Behind the Curve. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. And these are not dumb people who believe this. They're smart. They're smart enough to sort of outthink themselves. Like, just move on and put your focus on something else. Nope. No, I'm sticking with this. This is where I plant my flag in the ground. That's where I draw the line.
All right. Well, Josh, you know, first off, word to your mother, don't knock up flat earthers, because you end up in this predicament. So just for others listening, I know it's a little late. So any of you guys who are thinking about dating flat earthers, you stay away from those flat earthers. You get with the Gina Grads of the world, the Twin Towers. You know what I mean? Not the not the flat. Ain't nothing.
Thank you too.
No
soon.
Part of Gina that's flat. All right. Also, your daughter / son is pretty. By the way, 15-year-olds are like 27-year-olds when I was a kid. I mean, they're pretty much done. And you are going to be the good parent.
Yes.
You are going to be the forgiving, thoughtful one. Mom's always going to be the crazy one. Your daughter's going to resent her and feel that way, and your bond is going to be that much tighter with your daughter. Now, as far as the custody battle, that's going to be what it's going to be, and it's going to play out. But what you can say to your daughter now, your daughter's 15. She's obviously educated, and she's obviously a modern woman / man. She knows who your wife is. Now, when your daughter's 8 and you have to sit down and watch flat earth videos with mom, you're in. It's a cult. You're indoctrinated in a cult. It's hard to get people into a cult when they're teenagers or when they're older or when they're aware of what's going on. She had no callback. She had no context when she was growing up. That was just her mom. Now she realizes it's technically her mom, but practically she's a nutty flat earther, religious nut job who she won't listen to anymore. So even if she's spending time with nutty ex-wife, it's not going to be watching YouTube videos on Flat Earth. She's going to just be watching Netflix. Your nutty ex is going to be in the next room. She doesn't have dominion over her anymore. She's not going to be able to affect her. It's going to be uncomfortable, but she's not going to poison her like she did in the past.
Yeah.
All right. Mission. Look, that was a tough one. Let's be honest. Crazy
really
flat
well
earther wife, the transitioning daughter. I mean, that was a 9 on the difficulty scale. All right. Let's see. We got Chris, 35, Sacramento. Chris.
Hey, not stoked to follow Josh, but I'll give it a go. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey now.
Hi, guys.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Adam, I'm sure you can help me out. I've got a crazy mother-in-law who's making my life a living hell, and I was hoping Mr. Brightside could cheer me up.
How old is she?
Probably about 70.
Well, she'll die soon. I mean,
don't even go there. I'm not thinking it.
I am. I'm thinking it for the both of us. How about that?
Yeah, she's been diagnosed to be crazy and refuses to take meds, and she accuses my wife's dad of just about everything, and it's getting bad. It's sad to see my wife and her relationship deteriorate, so I don't know what to do.
All right, I get it, but I got to tell you, there's a big difference between crazy acting all the time and then diagnosed. And I'll tell you why. Diagnosed gives you context. When people are just accusatory and bitter and acting out and all that kind of stuff, and you don't really have a context for it, you don't really have a disorder, you can't hang a label on it, but you can hang a label on your mother-in-law. And thus, you don't have to listen to what she says. I mean, you know, it's like when a neighbor says something to you, like if a neighbor said, you're an asshole or you're out of line or you're going to die or something, it would be a bad day. If a homeless person says something to you crazy, you just keep walking, right? They're crazy. That's a homeless person. Like there's context, right? So it's kind of consider the source. Your source is nutty. And it's difficult as that is for your wife, you and your wife both understand that she's suffering a mental disorder, probably not taking her medications. So when she points at your wife and says, you're a whore, I wish I never gave birth to you, that's a crazy person saying that, not her mom. You know what I'm saying? And so you can put it in a context because... And I think I probably had I've had this before where it's like I didn't know people were nutty or on medications or whatever. And I was like, what's wrong with me and what's wrong with them? And then you find out they were suffering from something. And then you go, oh, OK, so those words didn't really mean anything. And I should have never listened. So you, my friend, do not have to listen to your mother-in-law because she's crazy. And all you have to do is get your wife. And this is not going to be, this is a fairly tall order. You have to get your wife to transition from that's my mom talking to that's a 70-year-old nut job talking. We all have to do it one day. You know, and the numbers may vary. But I mean, at some point when somebody has a disability this way, that's not your mom talking. That's a person in the grips of a disorder, and you have to hear it in the context of it. It may be the words may be coming out of your mom's face, but those aren't her words. That not
it's like
the
a pod person,
right? Not the words as you knew them as a young person. All right, Scott, 32.
You're killing it, Adam.
Well, I don't know if I'm making people feel better, but this is sound advice. All right, Scott, 32, Topeka, Kansas.
All right.
Going
yes, sir.
On.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, you're absolutely right about the shame in the smokers. I remember when I was in kindergarten, even they started the campaign. They basically made me into a Hitler's youth. I remember going to my grandpa.
Good analogy.
Dying from lung cancer, laying on his belly when I was 4 or 5 years old and saying, you really got to stop smoking. It's going to kill you.
Yeah. People were deputized. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's, the kids. Oh, my God. You smoke in front of a kid now. They fucking freak out. They're much, yeah. By the way, a kid, your average teenager sort of grew up in this world, much cooler with pot than they are with cigarettes.
Sure.
Much, much cooler. All right. So go ahead, Scott.
So, you know, I'm the type of guy where, like, for instance, I want to learn how to juggle. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go home and I'm going to learn how to juggle. And I'd spend 10 to 12 hours. And next day I'd show up and I'd be able to juggle. Or, hey, I wanted to, like, up my basketball game. Or I'd want to learn this new talent. And so I would devote all this time to it. Now, you know, it seems like ever since I had a kid, my kid's 2 years old, I feel like my body is just shutting down on me. And I look back on these pictures just even from 2 years ago. And, you know, my body's not in the shape it was before. I'm losing all my hair. It's the first time that I'm ever really feeling old, you know, at 32, which I guess can be normal. But I don't know. I just got a photo shoot and the pictures came back and I'm seeing huge bald spots on my crown. My hair's receding.
Wait a second.
I guess I just need some cheering up. What's up?
So did you make the cover of Juggler's Digest again? Or what's the photo shoot?
Probably a new baby photo shoot. Like a family photo
shoot. Yeah, my baby's turning 2 here in less than a week. And so wanted to get, you know, a family photo shoot.
You're going
to
juggle the baby? I'm not following.
But I'll tell you what, I will sign up for that photo shoot if I can find it here in Topeka, Kansas, of all places.
Yeah, I don't know what the circulation is these days, but I'll look into it.
It's gone mostly online.
Yeah, they've gone digital. Yeah, that's what the money is.
I was going to say, I'm not a hat guy. Hats, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just makes it look worse. So I can't do that.
You're not a hat guy?
No, I can't pull it off for whatever reason.
Brian, are you a hat guy?
No, we did. We remember there was a week where I wore hats. You're like, you should try hats. And it's just, maybe on the beach.
All right. I'm a fucking broken record here, but here goes. You're 32 years of age. You're post the Michael Jordan era. Michael Jordan made it okay for any man in America to have a bald head. The number one athlete, personality, even sex symbol in America was a bald guy. And it is now anything that came after Michael Jordan is completely fine. When I grew up, you could not have a bald head. You couldn't have a shaved head. It was weird. There were two people on TV who were bald. There was Telly Savalas and the captain from The Love Boat. That was it. That was all. That's out of, you know, the three major networks and 1,000 hours of primetime programming. That was it. You had to have long hair. It had to look like Leif Garrett. You had to comb it back. You had to look like the fourth Hudson brother. You guys can Google me right on that. It was a big deal. If you even just watch an episode of The Partridge Family, Keith Partridge's hair is like co-stars in the Partridge Family. He's always swinging it around. He's moving it. Even Danny Bonaducci's like flipping and moving. It's like it was a big deal to move your hair. By the way, women, too, they're always like shaking their hair. Farrah Fawcett. Yes, Brian.
To further prove your point, look how far we've come in the ass kicker department. Statham, The Rock, everyone in the UFC. Back then, Patrick Swayze was kicking ass at Roadhouse with a fucking perm. You had to have the buzz cut or the bald head.
No such thing as a leading man with a buzzed head back then. No, back in the day, no leading man had that. You couldn't have it. Even, you know, the great
Yul Brynner.
The great, yeah, but he wasn't a leading man. He played like the heavy. By the way, underrated in the hair department, Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
Like all those spaghetti westerns of that was big, big hair. You had to have big hair in order to have big success. Never been a better time to be bald. Shave it off. Get the fuck back to juggling. And focus on your priorities, which is a four-pin combo. Yes.
Let me ask Scott a question. Scott, are you losing hair because of any chemotherapy treatment or cancer treatment?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I could see the bright side in that. No, as far
shut
as
the
know,
fuck up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Thanks for the assist. All right, let's bring it home.
Feel better? Good. Thank you, Mr. Brightside.
All right. Well, I think we proved our point there. What do I got? Liquid IV. Here we go. Liquid IV. Well, we talked about diet and exercise and what that entails. Getting your vitamins in there. Flu season's around the corner. Winter's approaching. More important than ever to have a strong immune system. That's why Liquid IV was created. It's a hydration multiplier plus immune support. Cutting edge blend of vitamin C, vitamin D. They're talking about how important vitamin D is with this whole COVID business. Oh, by the way, zinc. That's another one everyone should be on. It's got C, D, zinc, and Wellmune, a naturally sourced beta-glucan proven to help strengthen your immune system, all in a convenient single-serving packet. It's just little packets. It's kind of like, I don't know, size of a salt packet. Like a Sweet and Low times two, a little kind of tube packet. And you just open it up, put it in your water bottle, shake it up. Good for traveling, good for hangovers. It's Liquid IV. Right, Dawson?
Liquid IV's new hydration multiplier plus immune support is available at Walmart or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code Adam at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com. Promo code Adam.
All right. We got Patrick Rosenstiel. He's a national popular vote is the campaign talking about the Electoral College versus the popular vote.
Very interested in this.
A lot of people have been going around and around on this for more so recently. So be curious and really getting schooled up on the popular vote versus the Electoral College. We'll talk to Patrick right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.